From Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so.
I'm going to do something a little different and get a little closer to you folks this morning, if that's okay. We're beginning today what I'm calling our summer series, Stories for the Summer. And several of the stories that we're going to be looking at are going to be familiar Bible stories. But as we share them, I think sometimes we just assume these are children's Bible stories that we're familiar with and we get used to hearing them, but Scripture, God's Scripture, is a living Scripture that's intended to breathe life into our lives, into our understanding of who God's called us to be. And I want to begin talking about God's creation. And this truly is an amazing story. It's one we take for granted because maybe we hear of it so often, but it's one that even the youngest can relate to. It's one of the reasons I hand it out, and I see the kids hard at work. Look, can I show them this? This is already what Campbell's working on. Let me see yours for a minute. Here's Tessa's. They've got some creative things going on. Keep working on it, ladies and gentlemen. But we have a creative sense ourselves, and that's what I'm going to begin to in a minute. But God created, and everything we know and have and see and experience, everything of the world that was created from the beginning was created by God. And that's just a magnificent, amazing story. So I want to start off by asking each of you, and not that everybody shares, but maybe just a few people will. What does God, what does creation say to you about God? When you look around at creation around you, what does it say to you about God? Anybody? Yes, Penny. It says God is alive. What else? Control. God's in control. What else? Great. God is great. Creative. What else? Provider. What else? Somebody said something else. Awesome. Always working. Thank you, Sabrina. One or two more. Yes, God loves beauty. Absolutely. One more. Rob, you spend a lot of time outside. What does God's creation say to you? Always growing. Absolutely. Something always happened. You going to say something, Jesse? I said it was the last one. He just had to have one after I said it was the last one. Absolutely. We did holy, 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 and through God's creation, we can see holiness as well. Well, we're going to continue. We've talked about that, and we know that, and if you go through, most of the children could probably even tell you a lot of the things that were created on which day, and that could be a sermon in and of itself. But today, I want to focus on a very specific part of creation, and it was the part that Aaron kind of focused on. It was that God created man in his own image. This was kind of the crowning jewel of God's creation. We're created in God's image. Human beings are. So we are set apart in a unique way. And if you have your bulletin, you just may want to look there. And it can. I'm just going to go through really quickly what we're going to be talking about. It's kind of a summary. And you can see where we're going and kind of maybe help keep things in line. But the uniqueness of man, and I'd use man in the general terms. It could be the uniqueness of humanity, of man and woman. But we're created in God's image. We have a soul, which means we're beyond the external. It's not just what's happening around us, but there's some the essence of who we are and who God created. We're created in God's image, so there's a we have the opportunity for eternal life. We understand what there is in terms of morality. We have a moral compass, so we in eternal life, we went beyond the here and now. Our moral compass, we live in some time that it goes beyond simply what feels good and pleases ourselves. We're created in God's image, so we also are created to communicate with God, so we are to live beyond ourselves. And then finally, we're co-creators with God. And that means that if we're co-creators with God, we're a part of something that's beyond this world. So I hope all of that's going to come together in a way that will make sense to you as we continue this time together this morning. So, first of all, if we consider the fact that we have a soul, it's beyond the external. And if you spend a lot of time studying this, as I have recently, there's a lot of misunderstanding, different ways of looking at things. And one of the things you can see, even in the Old Testament scripture, there's times when even animals can be referred to as having souls. But that's based on a Hebrew word that simply can be translated life. So there's a difference in that reference that you may see in the Bible at times and soul of what we're talking about today that we have because we're created in God's image. And if you want to look at that more, you go back and you study what soul means in the Hebrew, what soul means in the Greek. And I didn't figure you wanted me to take an extra hour to talk about that today. So I'll let you do that on your own. Or if you want to have that conversation, I'd be happy to do that with you. But today we're talking about not just our life, not just the living, but the fullness of what encompasses life. Our personality, our desires, our thoughts, our loves, our fears. All of that is what we're talking about when we say our soul. In fact, in Matthew 11:29, and this could be another whole sermon, but I just mention it today because I feel that there may be some people that today this is what you need to hear. Matthew 11:29, God says he will give rest to our souls. For those who are weary, for those who come to him. And there's sometimes we're just tired and we just physically need rest. But there's sometimes we're so completely and totally worn out on life that it's just we're at life's end. And God says in this scripture that he will provide rest for your soul. And that's rest for every sense of your being. And rest tends to provide renewal. And my guess is there are people here today who that may be their biggest claim, their biggest desire, what they yearn for as they come to worship God today. So that's the first thing. Recognizing that because we're created in God's image, we have a soul and we live beyond simply what we can touch and feel and see. Secondly, we have an opportunity for eternal life. And most of us know this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So we're created in God's image, and God's desire is for each and every one of us to spend eternity with him. That's another aspect of being created in God's image. The third one. There's a moral compass. And that moral compass, you don't even have to look to the scripture initially to find this. It's simply the understanding of what's right and wrong. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. There are people who aren't Christians at all who know the difference in right and wrong. And that separates us from mere wild animals, that they simply live to survive and they respond to the senses of what's around them. So human beings have that moral compass, that sense of what's right and wrong. But that goes to a different level. It's actually a separate thing when you understand, when you have a relationship with God. There's a scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." So there's a sense in which when we're in that relationship with God, we live in a way that we're not depending on ourselves. There's a sense in what God, in which God truly leads and guides where we're going, what we're doing, what we're thinking, and how we're acting. But we have to continually be willing to seek Him. And to do that, there has to be a relationship. And as we embrace that, we understand more and more what it means to say that we were created in God's image. And then beyond the moral compass, there's a sense in which we were created to communicate with God. How much communication have you had with God this past week? I don't want you to answer. This is between you and God, but it's a challenge that I want you to think about. What has your communication with God been like this week? We're created in God's image. We as believers are supposed to have a closer relationship with God than we do anybody else. If you have a spouse, think about how you communicate it to your spouse. If you have children, think about how you communicate it to your children. If you have father and mother living nearby or around you, think about how you communicated with them. Hopefully there were some good exchanges. But now think again, how did you communicate with God this week? The very God who we just read in Proverbs said that if you lean on Him and not on your own understanding, He'll be the one to make your path straight and help you to live in the way that I think we truly desire to live. And God is constantly with us, but if we don't seek to communicate with God, and that means us sharing with Him, but also us listening to God's response, then we aren't going to be able to live the life God's called us to live. We're not going to be able to be a part of God's creation in the way that He intended. So I want to suggest four ways that are somewhat related in the way that we communicate with God. And being that we're talking about creation, the first is nature. And living in Nelson County, I expect the majority of us have spent some time outside just because we like being outside. Just because we enjoy the beauty of the mountains around us, the streams. Roy David told me last week that it was a good weekend to go kayaking. Did you get to go, Roy David? And I went with Roy David kayaking one time, and in the midst of that, we're floating down the river, and we see an eagle just flying by and hunting and seeking fish. And in the sense of that, what I understood was the majesty of God. So there's a sense sometimes when just being outside, you can communicate and feel closer to God in that way. That's one of the ways that we experience communication. Another one, I had this conversation with somebody in the congregation this week too, and they talked about how they began a new way of praying, and it was one that I had talked to them about previously, one we've talked about in here at times. But Scripture, we've talked about being God's Word, and there's a sense in which you can pray Scripture. You read Scripture, and as you read Scripture that means something to you, connecting in some way, you can literally pray that Scripture, and you can pray the exact words. You can say, God, I'm reading this Scripture. It's speaking to me. I want to understand it more deeply. And you can meditate. You can spend time there. And as you pray through the Scripture, God reveals through the Scripture, through its Holy Spirit, what God wants you to know. And at times, it even enables us to express to God things that we don't seem to have the words to, but so often it talks about how wonderful and majestic and mighty and powerful and awesome God is as we read the Scripture. And sometimes we just take those Scriptures and repeat them to God and say, yes, God, I affirm this and I know this about You. And so that's another way we can pray. And then there's just prayer that we talk about. And sometimes prayer scares people, particularly if they're not someone that considers themselves to have grown up in the church or to be a very religious person. And you know, I would much rather hear a prayer of someone who hasn't just based it on what they've heard preachers say all their lives. Because then they just seem a lot of times to put together a bunch of churchy words that sound nice. But prayer, what it's really supposed to be, are words from the heart, open and honest communication. The communication we have with God should be open and honest and as genuine as it is with anybody else we ever have known or ever will know. And sometimes we pray out loud in public where other people hear. Sometimes we pray just us and God. But we need to be willing to go there, to pray in that way. And you know, sometimes praying is hard because there are things in our lives we don't necessarily like to share. And especially with God, because God's perfect and you don't want to be that way in front of God. Well, I'm going to tell you something you already know. God knows everything about you. God knows everything you've done. God knows everything you've thought. God knows every mistake you've made. And you know that. But still, at times, we find it difficult to have honest conversations. But when we do, it opens up doors. We were created in God's image for a purpose. And one of those purposes is communication, communing with God. The final part of communication with God is being attentive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is real. We have God the Father that we sang about. God created this world. God the Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross to pay the price for your sins and mine that we just talked about in John 3:16. But we also have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that Jesus Christ left when He rose, when He ascended and went back to heaven. And that Holy Spirit is God here on earth's presence in a way that is constantly with us 100% of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that if we just have ears to hear, He will lead and guide us. And I'm so pleased in this congregation. I'm hearing now on a regular basis from people that I'm talking to in the small groups that we're having, you're coming to me and you're saying, Greg, this happened. And you know, I really think this was a God thing. I really felt God leading me to do this. And it wasn't something I even thought I was going to do. I don't even know sometimes how the words came out of my mouth. That's God's Holy Spirit working and moving and helping us to see things we don't see on our own. That's part of what it means to be created in the image of God. Well, then kind of all of what I just said leads up to the big point of today's message. We are co-creators with God. And this talks about the fact that we're beyond this world. Well, I talked about this being just a magnificent, wonderful story. And most everybody loves stories. The college young adult class that we're a small group that we're having for the summer. And by the way, if you want to go and haven't been, it'll meet right after this on this class on the left. But one of the things they're working towards doing this summer is that they're going to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to see a dramatical presentation of Jonah at Y'all already knew what it was. Sight and Sound Theater. And I don't know how many of you may have been. How many of you ever seen Noah at so you know what I'm talking about. You've seen that. And when you go, and I haven't seen Jonah yet, but I went and saw Noah, and when you're there, you're actually, when you're doing it, you're in the ark. You're in the ark as the story is being told. So you're so much a part of the story. You're not just sitting there watching somebody talk about a story. You're in the ark. You're in the boat. Elephants are walking by you. That's what it's like. Well, I don't know if when the young adults and the college students go to Jonah, if they're going to be in the belly of a fish or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if they are, because that's how good these people are at presenting God's word and the stories that are in the Bible. But I want to tell you today, the story of creation, you aren't just listening to it, you're in it. The story of creation hasn't ended. It is continuing. And you are a part of it. Several places in Scripture, if it doesn't say it directly, it's saying indirectly. It's talking about us being co-creators or co-laborers with God. God did not put us here on this earth simply to take up space. You've heard that said before in many different contexts. But He didn't. He has a purpose and a plan. You're to be a partner with Jesus. You're to be part. Well, even before I get to that, there's a basic sense in which Genesis said, there's a basic sense in just that we're to take care of God's creation. It said that. We've been given this. We're to take care of it. Man named the animals was one of the things you hear of often. But also, we're to care for God's creation. Beyond that, creation continues because we've been given the responsibility of procreation. So we continue to be a part of creation in that way. But then beyond that, we're also to be partners with Christ in creating through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And this comes in us recognizing that we're building, creating, not only taking care of what's here on earth, not only in procreating so we continue in that way, but building the kingdom of God. We use that a lot. Do we understand what the kingdom of God really is? What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the sense in which people recognize the love that God has for them. And they understand that in such a way that they come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, they're able to live not only eternal life in heaven, but begin an amazing life with God at that point. And we're to be a part of that. There's so much more that could be said about that, but I want to leave you with this, and I hope it'll resonate. It's something I've used before. I use it quite often because it's one of the biggest challenging scriptures for me. But I also want it to be something that this church, this body of believers, the family of God, seeks to live up to. John 14:12 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," and I could ask you to raise your hands, but I'm not. Do you believe in Jesus Christ today? Is God a part of your life? If you would answer yes to that, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing and will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus Christ says, if you are a believer, you will do greater things for the kingdom than Jesus Christ Himself did. We are co-creators with God. Creation didn't end in Genesis. It just began. And it's continuing, and we're a part of that story. And God's desiring to use us, and God's kingdom is going to continue to grow. And we get to be right smack dab in the middle of it. I'm going to ask the praise team if they'll come up as we have our closing song. And as we do, I challenge you. Where are you in the story of creation today? You were created. You came into being. God was a part of designing you the way you are. It says in Scripture that He knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. God had a plan for you. And there are plans that a lot of people have for you, your mom, your dad, your teachers, your bosses. And there's nothing wrong with living into that in an appropriate way, but it needs to fall in line with what God's will is for your life. What is God calling you to be? How does God want you to be a part of co-creating with Him today, tomorrow, this week? Because the Scripture's pretty plain that He does. So I ask, I'll be here at the front. I'd love to pray with you. The altar's open if you want to come and pray. But I invite you to respond ever how God leads. And you don't respond simply by saying, yeah, that was a good sermon. Yeah, maybe creation is pretty cool. That's not an appropriate response. God calls for action in terms of being a part of creation. Consider that challenge as we stand together and sing how